Welcome to Freedom of Mind. I guess today, yeah, we're going to talk about that DNA, Dana, as Tyler Perry called it.
DNA. Yeah, we're going to just get into it in the start of the show. I can't really express or even think about the all type of benefactors that go into DNA. So there's just so much to break down, but we really not going to break it down all, you know, long and scientific, because that shit is mad boring. But
that part, yeah, it gets real scientific, you know.
Well, I mean DNA, like, everybody knows the basis of, you know, you shoot up in somebody, you know what I'm saying, shoot the club up, you leave DNA.
Oh yeah,
white DNA. Definitely. That's what I'm trying to say. But anyway, tune into the show, man. We got a lot, you know. We got a lot today. You already know it's L.
You gonna do a speak your mind or what?
Yeah, I'll do.
Okay,
I'll do it.
All right. Hey y'all. So y'all. Hey, stay tuned, y'all. Speak your mind is next.
Yeah, you already know it's L. This is a little part of the show that we call Speak Your Mind on Freedom of Mind. Really release your mind, you know what I'm saying? Get in tune with yourself and just really vent out. And that, you know, square moment of time, either, you know, 5 minutes to 10 minutes, don't really matter. So I just wanted to talk about, I don't know, I'm going to say the Tiger documentary joint that's on HBO Max, you know what I'm saying? That joint, okay, we first got to break down, you know, the synopsis with that, right? So Tiger Woods, y'all know him, you know, PGA Tour champion, you know, just a number one athlete in that game of golf, right? Some say he was as big as the phenom Michael Jordan, LeBron James. It was significant because this man was of black and white, I should say, or Asian, Vietnamese specifically, to be in this historically European Caucasian game, right? In golf, y'all know damn well we never seen that many minority people on that green field pucking a ball into a hole. But then, you know, this phenom out of nowhere, this you know, well, to his claims, he was what, native? He said something crazy on an interview. So basically, you know, denouncing his black, you know, pridely side, but you know, enough of that. We're not going to really get into that. This docuseries was pretty cool. I mean, of course, me and Ray, we grew up around the time of Tiger Woods and stuff. I mean, he was everywhere. He had the, you know, the brand with Nike. He, I know he was on Wheaties, I want to say. Like, this cat was plastered everywhere, you know, and it was just a game of golf. And I never really understood the game of golf, never really knew the back history. And then, of course, you see things in the news of, you know, his trouble with the law. And then, you know, it's funny to me because they say sex addict, you know. There's nothing funny about being an addict or being a sex addict to certain things. But that's where it gets kind of funny to me, because it's like this number one black athlete that dominated a European, you know, Caucasian blend. Just they blend in from the States, they blend in from everywhere with this golf, even in Ireland and Scotland and things. Like, this dominating sport that does not have a black color, of course they're gonna they're going to plagiarize a lot of things, right? They're going to put things in the media. They're going to, you know, blow things out of proportion because this man has dominated this game. Like, this documentary series, I definitely, you know, I wanted to speak about it. I think it was a cool thing, you know, to see that. Like I said, just growing up, you just watch this man, but then, you know, you see the headlines and then, like, now it's like it all comes together. You know, when you watch this and you get a little back history, you know. So, yeah, shout out to Tiger Woods, man. I don't really got so much to say to that, man. You know, I wasn't a golfer. I didn't watch that shit. I was a lot into baseball, basketball, hockey, football. Football was like my least favorite, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, boxing was one of my favorites. It's like, growing up back home in Boston too, it was like a lot of shit is mad different, you know? So we just into different shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so moving out here was like a culture shock. Cause out here, well, I mean, back home we have European soccer and soccer from West Africa and shit, but over here it's like Mexico dominated, you know? And what else I could say about sports? I don't know other docuseries that are out there, but HBO Max, definitely, they just added Malcolm X. They just added a few other, The Color Purple. I just got through with seeing Harriet Tubman, that whole movie about her. I think that's a whole story within itself. I don't want to really get too much into it, but my theory on that movie, or you know, just my thoughts of, they made kind of an Exodus story. They turned her into a modern Moses, a female version of Moses. And there's certain parts in the movie where it really captures you, and you depict your vision a little bit. You broaden it a little bit more, and then you kind of see what these unfortunate people went through, right? She'll sing in the movie. She sings this cheer that will make you cry, because you feel like you know, you finally get to go back home, because you've been 200 to 300 years of suffrage. So, you know, when you hear that kind of chant, it just brings your soul joy. I think that's always the number one thing, you know. If you guys understand the movie of Exodus and Moses, and you understand the Israelites or what they had to go through, you would understand a lot of things. So then you turn into modern day, you know, Harriet Tubman, and she even had to go through some trials and tribulations, right? She had to do things that she understood that God was giving her that guidance to follow. So that's why she couldn't step out of place and not do them. So she couldn't do certain things, right? She couldn't act on violence. So she had to just sit there and watch her friend die. She had to do certain things. God took her away from having a family. This is what the movie depicted. This is what the movie shown. God took her away from her family, because when she escaped, her husband remarried and had somebody else's kid. So you can kind of see the trials and tribulations, but she wants to help out more, right? She wants to free more, and they're all going up north to Canada. Like, it's an amazing movie, because it captures you like that. You're sitting there like, I want to know history, right? We can go to conspiracy theories of what type of shit was the reason why they had a council in the middle of nowhere with freed African Americans now, and then Union patriots. What are they doing in the council? Is there money behind unionizing both the South and the North? I mean, you kind of see why the white folks back then helped the Black folks, though. You kind of can see that. You can see why, because everything is a business thing when it comes to transactions like that. Abraham Lincoln didn't want to free the slaves. He got a legislation that states that he needed to. Everything is a business transaction, though. when you look at it. But it was really cool to see a film that Union people from the North, like Massachusetts, there was people from Chicago that just helped these freed African slaves or these free men that were in Philadelphia, and they, you know, just had major little societies like that where just white and black was unified, and they were helping to get this organization through. Like, just this whole movie will show you everything. It was great dive, like, because you can kind of interpret it the way you want to. That's practically what I'm trying to say. You can interpret it the way you want to, but that's how I interpreted the movie. I think it was good. My favorite movie for this week, it would be that one. There wasn't really too many other things. I was in tune, since we're talking about movies, I was in tune with Pulp Fiction. I think that's a movie that we all have to watch as an American. To see a director that can play a movie from its end point. And I think if anybody has seen a Tarantino film, it's Tarantino, right? Yeah. If anybody's seen a Tarantino film, you can actually see that the movie is your ending. So the movie is the ending of the movie, but it's told backwards. It's like, it's so weird the way he does it, but it will be a scene where it was actually the ending to where it'll start off in the beginning, and then it will dive back to another story, or it'll dive down into another story, and this story will play into this character's role, and this character will line up to this character in the movie, and then from the ending that was at the beginning, he'll play it at the ending to all come together. Like, this is a mastermind. I think he did Reservoir Dogs too. Reservoir Dogs was amazing too. So I've been really diving into these movies. Training Day, of course, I dive into, but it wasn't directed by the same cat, but there's a lot of good movies out there that I strongly recommend. Malcolm X, which I will be deep diving for next podcast. I've always watched that movie, but it's a good thing to really dive into it and really see what it's trying to depict to you. So I'm going to do that one. If I don't have time today, I'll definitely do that tomorrow. A nice deep dive of Malcolm X. It was either between that one or John Q, but I think I'm going to go with Malcolm X. All right, y'all. It was cool talking to y'all, and you already know it's L.
What's going on, y'all? Ray Will here on Speak Your Mind. Hey, would like to touch on the whole Kobe death and, you know, the tragic, you know, death of Kobe Bryant and the others that were on the helicopter with him. Still in, you know, just unbelief, shock. You know, well, I was in shock, you know, when he went out, you know, when I found out he died. But, you know, still just like, wow, you know. But, you know, I've been following Kobe, you know, as a fan, I've been following Kobe ever since, pretty much ever since he got drafted. And, you know, I remember the first game that I noticed him on was a preseason game. Who was it? Because I know he dunked on somebody. He dunked on, was it Paul Pierce? It was one of those cats. but I forget who he dunked on, what team he went against. I don't know whether it was the Celtics. I forget. But I know, I remember it was at the Thomas and Mack Center. It was a preseason game, and, you know, in Vegas. And after that, you know, he crossed somebody over and then he dunked on somebody else. I'm like, wow, okay, this cat is, he got a future. He got a bright future, man. And then he began to emerge. And I remember when the Lakers, they traded away Eddie Jones. Cats were upset about that. You know, my brother was upset about that. He followed the Lakers a lot in those times. And then I started to really follow them after, you know, when they really started making any runs. You know, I was following the Lakers anyway, but I was really, like, in tune, you know what I'm saying? When especially, like, when Phil Jackson arrived, I was really, like, just in tune. But anyhow, so, you know, they so Kobe's a starter now, you know, and Kobe doing his thing, man. And I think that a lot of cats, he had a strong fan base, Kobe, at the time, but a lot of cats really didn't like Kobe, a lot of them, even Laker fans. I remember this, right? And not to talk bad about Kobe's legacy, I'm just being honest. A lot of people didn't like him. But yet, you know, he had a strong fan base. So, you know, so now we winning championships. You know, he won three in a row with Shaq. And then, you know, Shaq got traded away. Phil left temporarily for about a season. And then Phil comes back. And, you know, and then they needed a squad for him. Kobe was upset. He like, y'all ain't got no squad for me. This is some bullshit. They went and got Powell, right? They already had Odom, you know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, they started getting other cash, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, you know, Ron Artest, a.k.a. Metal World Peace, and you know, those cats, you know, what's the other cat? Ariza, you know, those cats. But anyhow, you know, they, you know, Kobe won two more. And then, so, you know, Kobe, he got injured really bad. I felt that D'Antoni started coaching at, you know, the Lakers at the time. I felt that he just rolled him too much, man. He was just playing them way too hard. Lakers were going through a lot of injuries that year anyway. This was the year when they had D Howard and Nash. And, you know, Kobe just, you know, outplayed himself. And then, you know, ruptured his Achilles, still was out on the court and still shot the free throws. That was a memorable moment. And obviously, towards the end of his career, the last game of his career, he scored 60 points, which was unbelievable. But that was around the time when players, especially that last season, when younger players, younger generation players were, you know, commemorating him, or not commemorating him, but giving him his props and saying, you know, Kobe, you know, how much Kobe meant to him. You know, Kobe's very inspirational player to younger generation of players. So like I say, like LeBron James on down. And but I'm saying, I just to say, just repeat what I said. A lot of cats did not like Kobe, man. You know, and but now all of a sudden, like, you know, oh, he's just this great guy, and you know,
rivals, I still got love.
There you go. But you know, I just trip off of that how people can be. You know, people act as if like they ain't never did shit to you or said nothing about you, but then act all cool. You know, so I'm like, man, you know, get rid of the fakeness, man. You know, I could bring it up to that same person and they act like I'm speaking a foreign language to them. Like, what are you saying? That I ain't never said that. What do you mean? Like, really? You know, hey, man, hey, give props to people while they at it. Don't wait till they die to give them props. Even people that you personally know. You know what I'm saying? It, especially if that person really ain't really putting no harm into you. It's a little different. They put a little harm to you. You know what I'm saying? You don't fuck with them. But, you know, come on, man. You know, stop hating and just give show people love, man. And stop being hateful. Either they ain't did nothing to you or they ain't really did much to you for you to be acting like that. Stop hating. All right? That's really my message. Freedom of mind. What's up with it, y'all? Freedom of mind. Okay, we're going to talk about that Dyna, right? So let me get this definition, right? If I can read these damn words. So, hey, y'all bear with me. Y'all can laugh all y'all want. I can't, you know, all these damn scientific words. Deoxyribonucleic acid is a molecule composed of two polynucleotide chains that coil around each other to form a double helix, carrying genetic instruments for the development, functioning, growth, and reproduction of all known organisms and many viruses. So that's the definition that I have for you guys. It's pretty much a bunch of damn information that's in your ass, and some kind of way they can trace it. So, So I wonder, you know, what's a good question? I wonder, is the baby daddy, baby mama, DNA different from the ancestral DNA? Is it a different process? Is it a different test? Because
I'm gonna get that shit done. Ancestry.com.
Hey man, I got it done. Like I said, man, you know, I got 88% African in me, man. I wish it was a little bit more, but hey, it is what it is. But you know what? That's what makes me, and I'm happy. But
I know I got some African roots in me, because I be jumping all the time. Hey, hey.
Yeah, you do, you know, that Puerto Rican, you know, like I said, that the drop off came there first over there in those areas, man. And then, you know,
we got rum for that shit. I love that shit. Rum. Rum pa pam pam.
Yeah, so that's how that go, man. So let me look that up. Is let's see what's going on with this, y'all.
Is child DNA different from? Let me see that water. Is child different from DNA?
I probably, you know, put it wrong, but you know. Oh, that's my little. I like the beat. And I don't know the lyrics. I like the way it sounds.
I know the old lyrics.
I like little. Yeah, I talk about the little the young rappers. Some of them are they cool. I don't know about Lil Baby, but I like the baby part. Yeah, but they doing their thing though, man. What's it say right here? With the family tree DNA, family ancestry test, you will find many of the same features provided by ancestry. Second, if you are a male, you can take the paternal ancestry test, which only tests Y chromosome DNA. So it sounds like it's leading more towards that way.
Wait.
Oh, that's the count. I'm sorry, I'm dancing, y'all. Okay, so it ain't too many new these new songs I don't like, but I like this one.
He was like 50.
Who was he?
Smoke. He sounds similar to 50. You can't say he doesn't.
Oh yeah. He just got to use that auto tune. Sounds like a little bit of 50 was using auto tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He sound like 50.
Okay, so you know we got the DNA going on, right? You are not the father. That show right there, man. Shit,
crazy the motherfucker.
Hey man, do that show still air? I ain't watched that show in a while.
Hell yes, it do. Air. All the auntie catch it at about 3 a.m. Yeah, they said
they do the same thing, huh?
Let me catch that Mario. Let me see. I knew baby wasn't the father.
They be in there talking big shit, right? They set it up, right? They got the video with the guy. And he's like, yeah, she ain't my motherfucking baby mama. That ain't my kid. That kid don't need nothing like me. She was a little hoe anyway. What? You know what I'm saying? The homies hitting all that too. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way that's my baby.
It ain't no fun right? If the homies
can
have none.
Yeah, say something crazy like that too, right? Then he get all on stage. The producers of the show then already. You know, make it like he, you know, saying the guy is the bad guy, everybody booing him and all that, or they playing like a little audio.
Listen. Since we're talking about DNA, when you share DNA with one person, do you still feel connected to that person if said that person and you have split up? Does DNA work in that way? I'm asking Dr. Ray, does DNA work? To where it's like you still have love or you still have attraction to that person because y'all share DNA. And you know what I mean by sharing DNA.
Whoa. Okay, so first of all, like you talking about if they related? Is that what you're saying?
No, if they share DNA. If this motherfucker, you know, he shoots his shells on her back or shoots his shells inside her crab. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then she perspired a little bit. They sharing DNA. Is that how that shit work? You laughing. I'm just asking.
Well, you know,
It's a process after that, right? And the process got to go all the way through, right? So the DNA going there, and enough buddies got to be you know what I'm saying, enough of them got to be cool with each other, you know what I'm saying? Because it's millions of them that's in there, you know what I'm saying? And there's millions of them that got to go and take that journey to that egg of hers, and they got to stay up in there, and they got to chill and hang out together.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the process got to work out from at that point. Sometimes it don't work out like that, but then sometimes it do.
That's something.
And then that's when you get married. You are the father. You know, you get that whole deal.
Yeah. Shit, I mean, I don't know.
You know, so, but I kind of wanted to bring this up too, because I was having a conversation with my buddy, and he was saying that, and so other people think this, but he was saying that ancestral test is a hoax. He said it's not true, and all this whatever. And then I brought up, I was like, well, what if a woman come up to you saying that you got my baby 2 years ago? You have and you ain't been there. You was a dog. Well, you gonna be like, well, you better prove that shit. Where's the DNA test? Right? And he answered, he was on some other shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was on some other shit, but I want to get into that conversation. But he just believes that DNA is a hoax. And I'm like, well, it's,
I don't know.
How do you explain that? So what you gonna do? You gonna go to Mari and be like, Mari, you's a lie. You lying. That kid is mine.
I don't know.
You don't know? Cause you know, like I said, yeah, hey.
My brain is fried right now.
Because you know, you got cats, you know, when we get to talking about our tracing our roots, right? And then you know, well, you want to know what you is, right? You know, you want to know exactly what you are. Like I said, I found out, I'm 88% African. All these different little African ethnicities I got in me, you know what I'm saying? I didn't go to African ancestry because I couldn't afford it. But of course, I'd love to have invested in that. But I can't afford that right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big baller like that. So I just went to Ancestral. And they just tell me pretty much like the country, you know, and some regions or whatever where I might be, you know, where my folks, ancestry traces back to. So that being said, it's a lot of Nigerian that I have in my ancestry. And then like, so there's a little bit of European in me. No, I ain't got no Indian in me like a lot of black folks think.
I'm West Indian.
You know what I'm saying? No such a thing like Harpo. No such a thing. And
he said, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. I'm West Indian. I don't know what the fuck you talking about, baby.
You know, because this because they got a little peepee long stocking hair and all that or whatever, you know. Nah, stop it.
My great daddy on dead daddy's side is West Indian. Okay.
Oh man. Okay. All right. So any other remarks for DNA? Any closing remarks for DNA?
Listen, man. At the end of the day, DNA is out there. So stay away. I think stay away. You can't really stay away because it's a part of you, but you could stay away from a few things that is a problem. Okay. So let's note these few things. DNA, if you spray your DNA, there might be an oven that is ready to bake a bun that you just put in that shit, if that's how that goes, okay? So be careful when you spread your DNA, because you might end up with another set of DNA another day, because that means you're going to have a kid. Never mind. Whatever that is, just make sure you know what DNA is, okay? Make sure you know. Beyond DNA, your genetics, where you come from, where that DNA come from, that ancestral bond, what this brother just said. I'm summarizing this shit because I know some of y'all shit is fried, and you just listened to this doctor summarize a lot of crazy shit. So I just want to say we need another topic because this DNA shit is bullshit.
It's bullshit?
Yeah, let's get another topic.
Hey, man, like I said, we got to do our best, our favorite and eliminate one, right? So what that is, that whole shit you see on social media, right? So let's take, right? So you mentioned those movies that you like, those black movies, right? Blacker than black movies you was talking about, boy. So you talking about, have you saw Color Purple yet? Did you watch that?
Seen a little bit.
Seen a little bit. Okay. All right. So you ain't really watched
Oprah and Whoopi with that one.
Let's take our favorite black movies, right? I'm gonna take my favorite. Let's both together. Let's take our four favorite black movies, right? So Malcolm X, right? I'm gonna say that. You agree with that? Wow. No, I'm gonna tell you my four, and then you're gonna tell me your four. Okay. So Malcolm X for me. Okay. I'm gonna say A Low Down Dirty Shame, right? The Last Dragon, and then Juice. I'm gonna say Juice.
Damn.
I know, but hell, you got Boys in the Hood, you got this Baby shit, Boy, Menace to Society out
this
there.
This shit is tough.
Tyler Perry movie.
We gonna just hit this. We just gonna hit this shit. Okay. I got shit is oh. Juice.
Okay.
I got hold on. Menace to Society. Boom. Number three. What I got. Set it off. There's five, right?
Four.
No, I'm going to need five.
Four.
I'm going to need top five.
Four.
Four? All right, four. I'm going to hit it with a Denzel piece. So I'm going to throw John Q in that one.
That's not a black movie.
That is a black movie.
Just starring a black man. That's it.
Shit.
Like a couple of other black folks.
Damn it.
By no black.
All right, we'll hit another Denzel. We'll hit another Denzel. We'll hit another Denzel. Damn. So many Denzels that I want to hit. We're going to have to go with Malcolm X then.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we're going to have to go with Malcolm X.
So out of your four, you said Malcolm X, right? You said Juice.
Yeah.
You said Menace to Society.
Set it off.
And Set it off. Out of those four, which one would you leave out? You got to take out one of those.
I wouldn't, though. That's a tough-ass question. I wouldn't, though, but that's a tough-ass question. Damn. Make me think. It's hard, too, because, fuck, I love New Jack. I love all these other joints too. Shit, Paid in Full.
That's the shit right there.
But if we talking about black movies, we can go Roots, Color Purple.
But you said four.
I know.
You gave me your top four. You got to take out one.
I got to take out one. I'm going to have to take out Menace.
What?
I'm going to have to take out Menace because y'all need to really visualize and understand Malcolm X. Like I said, I'm gonna be in a deep dive a little bit further with that movie. And fuck, I would love to say Ray, because Ray is a movie that shit I grew up on. I'm a musician and I just the way he played the piano and shit. Like, fuck, there's so many, but Malcolm X, like, just the depiction of how Denzel did it on screen. And y'all really need to understand what black excellence, especially even during the civil rights, what that meant for these fruit of Islams, these Muhammad, you know, these not reverends. We're not going to say Al Sharpton. We're not going to say we might say Minister Farrakhan. We might say like these people is what I mean by black excellence during this age of, we'll say, 1950s to all the late 1960s. We'll talk about Sam Cooke. And so when we really talk about this Malcolm X depiction, we really need to understand the age where this movie took place and understand what the Prophet Muhammad would show brothers in the community when they were a part of the Muslim church, you know, owning things, black ownership and, you know, black laundries, black stores and all of this and such. And, a lot of things you have to really understand when you're going through this movie or interpreting the nation and things like that. And then you need to understand the brother as Malcolm, what he was born to, his mother, his father, his mother that was so afraid of her yellow skin, her light skin. She was so afraid of that. She married a brother that she loved, the darkest brother that was around in this small southern town, and then how the Klan was still around, and just Malcolm's backstory, and how this brother was smart from jump, but so much prejudice that he had to go through and all that, and to finally open into a new light and just say, listen, I'm gonna give to my community. I love my community. And, you know, really learning about himself and what he was destined to do. I mean, that's what I see when I watch this movie. But like I said, I'm gonna give a little bit more deep dive later on. But yeah, that's why I would never take Malcolm X out, because it's a very empowering movie. There's, of course, like movies that I grew up with that I felt that were full black, that gave a perfect picture of what the black community, what the minority community, the family that brings, what that culture. And that movie could be Soul Food. That was what I grew up on. I grew up on Soul Food. That was the same in my dynamic in my household. I'm Puerto Rican and Italian, but my father's Black Rican is what they called him, or Afro-Caribbean. So of course we had the TTs, our aunties that we go over our house, or my grandmother died the same year I was born, but we had that dynamic. Even on my Italian side, there will always be Sunday dinners and things like that. So we had that dynamic. Shit, we were segregated from birth, but I had a dynamic of being both mixed, you know. So there's plenty I can dive in, but Soul Food, I think, happened to be the biggest effect as far as for me to learn a little bit about black culture. I think when we go in terms of ancient Kemet, and Kemetian is what they call it. Kemet is going before the king's age, and before we have Memphis, and before we have all these Tutankhamun and all these other pharaohs that we had Kemet. We had this civilization before they built the big, big pyramids and stuff. So, I mean, depictions like that, growing up, me, I've always had the Exodus. I've always watched and studied the Exodus. I've always studied Ramses' age. Tutankhamun was my favorite pharaoh. I've always studied him. I've studied the story of Joseph from Canaan, which is like modern-day Libya, being sold and all this type of stuff. I really focused on ancient Egyptian, and that was my favorite study. So there's plenty of movies that kind of depict ancient Egypt the way it was. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're 100% accurate, because they're not. Definitely not. They forgot the skin color, which is the biggest important thing. There was some where you could tell they were Middle Eastern, and it was like, see, the trick is, when we ask for a Tutankhamun movie, we're asking for a Tutankhamun movie. So I want to see a brother that has a complexion as Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
And then I want to see one of the Pharaoh's guards or something to be a complexion as Akon. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm going to start rambling for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of movies that we've watched, and I think comedies, as far as comedies, because I'm gonna break it down for black culture. I can say Life, the movie Life. I think I was always watching that movie. I don't know. There's a lot of it was so funny to see, you know, Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence together like that. But what the movie really stood for, right? You know, how they got arrested or how that came to be. Wrongfully accused, of course. Bad Boys was like a me and my brother thing, you know. Just to see Will Smith from Fresh Prince, and then I'm watching this brother on TV all the time. And
Martin was on TV.
Men in Black.
Successful sitcom. Black sitcom.
Will definitely was an influence, but also it was Martin, shows like Martin or In Living Color. We got to see some bits with Wanda, Jamie Foxx playing Wanda and things like that. Like, or we got to see the Wayans brothers is a big influence on me. Through my childhood, when we talk about Black history, we could talk about Black comedians, and the Wayans is definitely one of those cobblestones. I mean, from In Living Color, A Low Down Dirty Shame, to My Wife and Kids, which is not Keenan. I forget. It's one of the brothers. It's one of the brothers.
Well, that's Damon.
Damon. So
I like some of his movies.
Those shows. Damon Wayne. Mo Money's good too.
That's one of my favorite movies.
White Chicks was my like go to at Blockbuster all the time. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. The Wayans show. That was the greatest. The Wayans brothers, like, cause when Pops came out, you know, when Pops came out, he was like bang, 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 bang. And he was a Pops kid, doo-doo-doo. Like all that type stuff. Like, I think comics need to really understand our foreground, you know. Bernie Mac, if we're discussing Black comics and Black kings, Black legends, we'll go with B Mac, you know, because B Mac will be, I'm gonna tell you like it is. I've been Black a long time. We've been Black a long time now. I'm gonna tell you like it is. Hey, he said, fuck these fucking kids, man. Fuck them. Yeah. Go. What you feel about B Mac?
He left too soon, man. You know, as a selfish man, we fucking needed Bernie, man. I felt like we didn't have enough of Bernie, man. Bernie was just getting started, bro. Seriously. But, you know, like, God had another plan for him, man, you know, so. But, man, I was like, wow, you know, when he went away, man, I was like, damn, man, we I wasn't ready for that. But you know, my four, man, my top four, like I said, I think I said Malcolm X, right? Low Down Dirty Shame. I said Juice. Damn. And then what else? The Last Dragon, right? So take out one. Oh my God. Okay.
You got to take out The Last Dragon. Fucking Blue G Royal.
Talking about, boy, The Last Dragon is the shit, homeboy. With Show Enough and shit. Show Enough. You know what I'm saying? That's my shit right there. See, The Last Dragon is something like, ever since I was like a little freaking kid, bro. Like this tall, let me tell you something. When that what's the name of that? That old production company, TriStar, and that unicorn or whatever, that flying horse, Sagittarius or whatever the hell you want to call it. Maybe that's why I was cool with it, because I'm a Sagittarius. You know what I'm saying? A horse, a half human, half horse. No, it wasn't a Sagittarius. That's half human, half horse. But it was a flying horse. And whenever that shit come on, I'll be like, ooh, is The Last Dragon coming on? This is when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? right. But you know what I'm saying? If it didn't come on, right? Because you know when the song come on, you know what I'm saying? The theme song come on. You are the last dragon. That come on or whatever. I'm like, ah, hell no, I ain't watching this shit. My shit ain't on. I'll just turn. You know what I'm saying? But if it come on, I'm watching that shit. I'm like, this is my shit right here. So. Like little memories like that or whatever, right?
He think he 15 in a gi and shit.
Hey, man. A lot of brothers, I remember brothers, they used to wear karate suits. And like, man, you practice karate? You're like, nah, I don't practice. What the hell you doing with a karate suit on? You don't know karate.
Don't be lying.
No, I'm serious. Motherfuckers, just rock that shit. Just to rock it.
He asked people, did you practice the arts? Did you practice the arts?
She don't know. Because you don't know nothing about the 80s. But, you know, it's all good.
Johnny, bro, go do some karate.
So yeah, but if I had to take one out, okay, man, that's hard, man. Cause with Juice is my shit, man.
No, don't say nothing about Juice.
A Low Down Dirty Shame is my shit, man.
You sip with Juice. I got enough to go around.
Malcolm
and
X.
It takes some place uptown. Ooh.
I'm taking out The Last Dragon, not because of this guy, cause he don't know nothing about that, y'all. He don't know nothing about that. Youngster, but. I'll take out The Last Dragon, but I can't do without Low Down Dirty Shame. I absolutely can't do without
Peaches.
That. I can't do without Juice, and I can't do without Malcolm X. I mean, come on now, that's out of the question.
But
would have been your father, but the fucking line was too long.
Oh man, that food was crazy as hell in that, man. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why Juice was so amazing to me, because Pac, man, I thought Pac was really like that. I'm like, this brother was crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? And you know, he was really into that character, man. I mean, honestly, don't get mad all y'all want, but Pac was just as good as an actor that he was a rapper, in my opinion. He was a powerful actor, and like I said, if he had still been alive, he probably would have been a big time blockbuster guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, it probably opened up the doors for Will. It probably opened up the doors for LL. It probably opened up the doors for, well, Ice T was doing it before all of them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know, but for all of them, but he was doing it early. But
Pac was a visionary. He said, "We run from the cops. We run from Rider Mads.
Run from
Quillets
with that bullshit gun." You know, old man Quillez with that bullshit gun. I think that's how he said it. But yeah, man. So yeah, I had to take out that, man. But all these is absolute classics. They had the profound impacts. On our lives. But I want to bring up a couple other movies. Like, hey, how about the newest black movies? Right? How about One Night in Miami, man? I think that's a pretty good movie. If you had a chance, check it out. It's a pretty good movie, man. And I just like how realistic it was, man. You know, how they were just sharing each other's thoughts. Turn it down real quick, man, so I can kind of spit real quick. But they were just pretty much, you know, they were having some deep conversations.
Malcolm X and shit.
Right. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. So you got Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown, all in one suite together, and them just sharing their thoughts and opinions about each other, man. And then a few times it got really heated, especially between Malcolm X and Sam Cooke. And there is very few brothers who think like Malcolm X, and there's a lot of brothers who think like Sam Cooke. I'm just gonna say that, in my humble opinion. But that's all right. Y'all are my brothers at the end of the day, man. And we on the same struggle, the same fight. You know, we shouldn't be on a struggle. If we all human, help a brother out, support a brother. Reparations is that. It really is, man. Y'all may not agree with it, but that's a big solution, because it's doing more than just providing money or finances. It's showing support. It really is. It's letting black people know, hey, we give a fuck about y'all. You know, so hey y'all. Any more last remarks?
I gotta watch this movie now.
Hey man, it's on Netflix. Pretty good movie, bro. Yeah, it's not on Netflix. My bad. It's on Amazon. Oh, yeah. My bad, Brody. It's on Amazon. You don't have Prime? Nah. Well, it's on Prime. My bad. It's not on Netflix. Sorry. All right.
Then I want to get Antebellum then.
That's a pretty good movie. Hey, y'all. Hey, so freedom of mind, y'all.